This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Oh, hello there, everybody. This is Lucha Underground, the premier Lucha Underground after show on the web. My name is Max. With me, not physically with me, but with me, through the magic of modern technology, is
Travis.
Hello.
That was the introduction. That was great.
Thank you.
Thanks. About how we do this. It's great.
Oh, yeah.
An ode to technology. That was great.
That's right. I've been working on my intros.
Yeah.
It's a disaster really on my other podcast. So actually, that was really good. It's a shame my other host won't hear that because I need some cred.
Awesome.
Man, this episode started... This episode was all over the place, man.
Yeah, it really was. It really was. Mm-hmm.
Any news and notes you'd like to begin with?
Yeah, I want to hear about you got to see some more Ray Horace. I saw some of your pictures. It looked like an awesome experience.
Yeah. So I went to an outdoor lucha show here in Vancouver in a parking lot of a hotel, which, you know, if you're listening to this and you're somewhere in middle America, you know, luchadors and Mexican wrestling might be part of the fabric of your wrestling scene, but in Vancouver, it absolutely is not. It's very, very rare for anybody to come up all the way from Mexico past, you know, past the parallel 49. And they had brought up, about four or five legit guys straight from like CML and the independent scene. And the crowd that they attracted were not wrestling people, but the crowd was 100% on board from the very beginning. And
that's great.
It was awesome.
That's great.
Oh, yeah. Everything was new. It was like you got to live vicariously through a whole crowd of people. And it was a totally a great time. People there had never seen like an Enziguri before, you know.
Sure.
And when it happened, everyone would flip their lids.
That's great.
Oh yeah. It was super good, and they mixed it up with a lot of local talent, and everybody came across really well. There's a guy by the name of Ashley Six, who wrestled Sonico. Man, he's a great local talent. Another guy, Matt Ecstatic, he did a fantastic job. And you know who's doing great lately? This local guy in our scene named Shreds. Shreds has leveled up. Shreds has leveled up. But Ray Russell.
That's just an awful name.
Oh, it works. It's working better. Yeah. Oh yeah. I know what you mean.
A Ninja Turtle like third tier villain.
Oh yeah, for sure. And like in any independent local wrestling, a lot of the guys' gimmicks are just like, "Oh, I'm the punk," or "I'm the hardcore guy," "I'm the heavy metal guy," and there was a lot of that. And you know, I just don't understand why wrestlers consider that a gimmick. It just isn't. It's just not a gimmick. Yeah. It's not. You have to be more than that. You have to be more than quote unquote hardcore.
Yeah,
you know, it just doesn't work. If you're somebody like a Sammy Callahan, you can kind of get away with it because you have talent, you have depth of talent that is just obscene. But if you're just a dude who does this on the weekends, no, you have to be somebody different. Be a dentist.
Yeah.
Be a dentist, be a plumber, be a baseball player. Be something.
These are all people who they have been gimmicks in the past.
Oh, yeah. It will totally work because that crowd... That crowd did not know what to do with some of those guys who just came out and had nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Were they wearing lucha masks?
What's that?
Were they wearing lucha masks?
No, they weren't.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, everybody there was 100% on board with the guys from Mexico. So it didn't really matter. In fact, I think there was... I'm sure this is totally completely uninteresting to anybody who's tuned in to listen to our thoughts on Lucha Underground. But... there was a really interesting thing where they had a couple of they had like a tag team, and it was made up of one a Technico from Mexico teamed up with a face from a local face with two local heels, but one of the heels was a girl. And so there was a sequence of intergender wrestling that completely flipped the crowd. The crowd was not on board with the local face when he tagged when he had to face off against the heel girl. And the entire crowd was completely against it. I'm certain that they called it in the ring to get the whole match over as quickly as possible, because that Technico, the guy they probably gave hundreds of dollars to fly, and they paid his everything to get all the way up here to Vancouver. He just walked away having done like almost nothing. Almost nothing. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. It was very weird. It was very weird. But I think it was probably the right move.
Yeah, this is your second time seeing Ray Horace. Is he as great as advertised? Is he impressed both times?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And especially for that crowd, because that crowd was just so hot, and they had no idea, you know, what humans are capable of doing in that ring. And then Ray Horace does that, like, pizza tornado DDT thing where he's getting flipped around. He had an amazing spot where, you know, he runs and he flips. He does, like, sort of like a somersault through the air over the rings to the outside. And man, they had packed in people tight up against the rings. And, so there was a lot of action, a lot of suicide dives that flew out into the crowd. A lot of people getting their drinks spilled and everything like that, but everybody was super safe. I got my life saved by a security guard who just yanked me out of the way last second. Cause I was just like, I don't know. I didn't clue in that this is about to happen like on me. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was great.
Sounds like it's your first indie show. It was a lot of craft beers around, and there's some other things in British Columbia that are a delicacy that can make you just kind of forget where you are. You think you're sitting on your couch. Wow.
Exactly. Anyways, it was awesome. Yeah. Yeah. And Ray Horace is sporting some really interesting gear. It's like, it's like Egyptian themed.
So like it was sold out. Was it all ages? Were there kids there?
No, it was marketed like that, and then they had to pull the plug last second. So they're giving out refunds at the door, but they still sold out completely. If anybody, any spare tickets.
I probably still could have come then. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Next one. What else? Anything else? I feel like I saw something else. I can't remember now. Maybe it'll come to me. Willie Mack is looking for dates. Yeah, we retweeted him. And he retweeted us. So that's good. Just said, Christ, we love Willie Mack. He's looking for dates, I think, September, October, November. That's what I wanted to remember.
Oh, really?
And he was working on Dragon Gate, I saw.
No way. In Japan?
Yes. Oh yeah, he was. I have to sending pictures from all over Japan. Looks like he was having an awesome time.
Oh my god, I have to find that. That's amazing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so that's good to hear.
Do you think Willie Mack can work heel?
I don't know. That's a tough rope to walk right now. You know what I mean?
Oh yes, or, I do.
A little. To walk, because like, jeepers, what do you do with his look then, you know? You'd have to change his character significantly.
Yeah, I don't think it's appropriate. There's just no way to do it.
Oh.
Yeah. Not without asking him to, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Yeah, yeah. See, our Vancouver sensibilities won't allow us to have a black man as a heel. That's why I love this city, Trav.
That's not it. That's not just it. It's a certain look. It's a certain look that I can't. Could be problematic. I'm thinking of the face that Donald Glover makes in the "This Is America." You know what I'm talking about? Video. He makes that one face. That's what I could see. You go down that road really, really quick.
I have no. I'd have to rewind it. Anyways, let's dive into this episode.
Yeah. Lucha Underground, Season 4, Episode 9. Recap, Antonio Cueto and Matanza. They remind us of the sacrifices. Dragon Azteca and his gift to the gods, how he's going to keep defending it. And Worldwide Underground and Vibora's decapitation. Leads us right into the temple. Oh, no. First, we see Antonio Cueto on the phone in the office. And he's on the phone to somebody. And he's saying, everything is going well. I got another sacrifice coming. And he said, so on the way out, I had to back it up. He says, give the Lord my best.
Now, I think that's got to be, my assumption was that he was talking to the, like the FBI agent.
Mm-hmm.
You know that guy? And do you remember at the finale of season three, there was that, they showed the guy with like the silver mask and the silver skull mask. It was just like very brief, but he was sort of presented as the limo dude.
Okay, okay.
So I assume that's all just part and parcel.
Is the guy in the limo and the guy with the steel, are they the same person?
I mean, it hasn't been confirmed, but that is my assumption.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, enter Mariposa.
Yeah. Healthy.
Goodness. Yeah. She looks great. She looks great. She looks great.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
She made the change that, you know, you make these changes and you hope things work out well. I'll just say things worked out well. Okay. Is that all right? Bleeding heart liberal.
I went to her Instagram to see if she, because there would be post or pre, pre-operation posts and post-operation posts, and she makes no mention of it, which is fine. But one thing I did discover is I'm pretty sure she's either was or is dating Mauro Ranallo.
Yeah, I started his documentary the other day, but I fell asleep right away. I don't remember seeing her in it, but I think I might have heard that. But I mean, if you're seeing it on the...
Well, it's very weird because there was only three posts and they were all very around the exact same time. So like one after another. And she never mentions anything about the way they're positioned. They could just be good friends or something more. He hasn't liked anything. There's no likes from him. Yeah. And then just no more pics of him. And that was about maybe 6 months ago. So I don't know.
We'll do some digging. I got nothing. No, I'm off for a while, but I got stuff to work on. We all do, don't we, bud? Anyways, she's in there. She's talking sexy to Antonio and says she wants the gift of the gods. He says no. She drops some cash and it changes his mind. He takes. She walks out of there. He takes a good long swig of that Modelo and a slightly more quiet at the end. Yeah.
Why isn't that struck me very okay? So a couple of things. One, I really like how they had an explanation for why Dragon Azteca's first challenger was Mariposa, because it would have been so easy for them just to pull a Dario's Dial of Doom and just be like Mariposa without any explanation. So I like that they did that a lot. Do you think it was weird that with all the Modelo branding that
there's on the bottle,
there was nothing on that bottle? And actually, now that I think about it, I don't think there was any Modelo branding in this whole episode.
Well, you saw it up. It's still in the arena.
Was it?
Yeah. And you saw it when somebody made an entrance. When Aerostar showed up, I think it was right behind him.
Okay, good.
Yeah, you still see it. It's still on the mats around the ring.
Okay. Yeah. So then why on earth would you not have a...
No, maybe it wasn't confirmed yet at the time of shooting.
That's a very good point. Probably. I mean, that it's an iconic bottle, so...
Yeah, it is. That cool... Man, God, I have been... Every time I post our things on iTunes... or on Twitter, our link to our podcast, I always tag Modelo at Modelo USA, and I have yet to get a response from them.
They don't even know the show exists.
I know, but they got to keep. There's got to be who's in charge of their thing, right? Got to get at least like, who are these guys that keep tagging me?
Run it through.
And he's complimentary. I'm always like, drink Modelo USA.
You got to. We should just do a Modelo show. You gotta run it through a translator next time, make it and post in Spanish and tag
You're right. That's what I'll do. That's the next one.
Yeah, see what happens.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. Anyways, we enter the temple. Matt Stryker reminds us of the Worldwide Underground and Reptile feud. We go straight to the first match. Initially, we see all the Rabbit Tribe is in there. I'm like, these guys just had a match last week.
Mm-hmm.
Antonio enters, and he is like extra hoarse when he came in this time. It's like, only one of you can stick around, or has to be offered up for, as he says, a sacrifice. But Paul London immediately, just without any hesitation, offers up Malice Suerte. And we're getting our sacrifice. So your bloodlust is immediately. That's good.
It's so weird because, I mean, we talked about this before. We thought that this would happen. And this does seem like the most valuable cast member at this point.
So,
Yep. And which is awesome. But it seems I guess what I'm weirded out by is that I don't know what is happening with the Rabbit Tribe. I just want to know, and I keep expecting. This has been like the third episode in a row since that we've had the Rabbit Tribe involved since Masquerita Sagrada was murdered,
fully murdered,
and their story isn't really progressing.
Nope.
And every time they show up, I'm like, okay, now it's going to happen. Mm-hmm, but still nothing. It's weird. I mean, I can only assume that Saltador will do something wrong.
Probably. Oh. He'll be next. Okay. Or third.
You got to think so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're just trimming the fat. They're getting rid of all the guys who have played more than one character at one point in their life, because they're probably going to play more characters. That's kind of what I'm starting to... I mean, we'll talk about it later. Yeah, we'll talk about it later. I'm starting to get concerned about... I know you're loving the bloodlust, but I'm starting to get concerned. But
I know. I was like mentally, like, how many characters are even left? Like, how? Where is this going?
And just what they're going to do with it afterwards. But we'll talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
There's cartoon sound effects in this match a lot for whatever reason.
Oh my god, that was why? What? For what reason?
I don't know. Anyways, he hits the Wrath of the God for the squash, and the murder, as I wrote, the murder count is up early as per your request, sir. They're looking after you.
Now, did you know that, did you notice that Stryker, I want you to tell me if you've heard this before. Stryker at one point says, rabbits eat their own droppings. Is that true?
Matt Stryker's a teacher. He wouldn't lie to us.
Is he a teacher?
That was his gimmick for a while in WWE. He was like the professor. Of some sort, like he had a chalkboard come out and deliver his promos in front of it.
Really?
Yes.
I had no idea.
Find them for you. I might have heard that at some point. I don't know. But yeah, it was weird the way he kind of tied it into things. Didn't make much sense at all.
No. I saw an episode of Samurai Pizza Cats once. You remember that cartoon?
Vaguely, yeah. It was a good them. I couldn't name any of them.
No, it's fine. But there, it was like these three Samurai Pizza Cats, and at one point one of them was fighting a ninja rabbit, and the rabbit kind of backed up and shot a bunch of like machine gun bullets out of his mouth, and the pizza cat dodged it and said, he's like, rabbit pellets, well, they're coming out the wrong end. And then the rabbit like said, I know. And then doubled over and, like, was defeated. Do you think that has something to do with the fact that rabbits eat their own pellets? Because I think about this moment and a lot. And this is something that has stuck with me.
Yeah. No, I probably saw it
when I was 9 years old. And I can picture it vividly.
Uh-huh. We'll have to YouTube it to really confirm the... the precise way in which this, I mean, because honestly, Max, what you're describing makes no fucking sense.
I know, but I thought maybe this was a glimmer into some...
I don't know. Yeah. Well, hey, Matt Striker didn't really make any sense to you, so maybe you're right. Maybe you're right.
So true.
Anyways, next match. Joey Ryan is tagging with Jack Evans for some reason.
Yeah, or that was very weird and jarring, yeah. And I did not understand why that, to me, needed a vignette for context more than Mariposa getting a title shot.
Yeah, I agree. I was just, in the middle of this match, I was just like, what are they doing with Joey Ryan's character? What is... Mm-hmm. What's the point of him right now? I think we started to get a glimpse of something for him at the end. But anyways, yeah, against Dexalicious and Ivelisse. Opens up with Jack Evans and Ivelisse. Joey Ryan and XO had that kind of butt spot that I'm sure he's done his share of that kind of stuff a lot in the last 3 or 4 years.
I think the story of this whole match is that Joey Ryan was into it.
Yes, because I was going to get to it. Like, he was smiling at him, and it was going to start coming towards him, and XO used his sexuality against him. Yeah, XO does some of his stuff and returns to Ivelisse and Jack Evans to get the pace up a bit. The crowd was really into it. Mm. The crowd was good. Nice House of Fire from XO. He's just not... smooth. I mean, he's got the sweet little things, but the transitions in between don't seem as... It seems like everyone's kind of giving him a chance to get set and everything in between each little spot. The spots are great, but I still feel like he can iron out the creases a bit. I think we talked about that last time.
I mean, he's young. He's young. He's probably the least experienced person on the entire roster, right? I think the reality is they probably brought him in because they wanted an exotic go.
It's a great character, and he's all over it.
He should go down to Mexico. He should go down to Mexico and learn from some other exoticos.
Sure.
I think he would. There's something, thinking about that Lucha show I saw last night, like, he would have been so over at that show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, people... The left coast. Yeah, people would have absolutely gone bananas. And it would have been good for the... You know, a lot of last night was exceeding people's expectations. Like, I guarantee nobody knew... most of the people who walked into that thing last night had no idea what to expect, and they were flabbergasted. And you bring in something like that, which swerves even like the masculinity, like expectations. Massive. Would have gone over huge.
Jack Evans, it got a little clunky at the end. Turns out Jack Evans was legal, and he hits his nice corkscrew and then puts XO into a submission. When it's good that XO passes out, doesn't give up. JR and Jack Evans win, but Jack Evans holds on. Joey Ryan comes in and gets him to let go, and Ivelisse eventually stomps. And so here's what I'm saying. Maybe we're going to see a face turn of some sort for Joey Ryan. I don't know if they have something for him.
I'm sure it has something to do with XO, man. I think that they are bold enough and have nothing to lose that they are willing to have – they're willing to be – to do something with Joey Ryan. And knowing Joey Ryan, I can see them being like, yeah, we have the first, like – openly like a homosexual couple in wrestling or something like that, you know, like I can totally see, because that they just really zeroed in on Joey Ryan's face after the butt thing, and it lingered. It wasn't like a creative decision in the moment, you know, it was like this is a direction that they want to go in.
Should everybody
what's that?
Pay attention, everyone, that this is the expression that he has now. This will be important later.
Yeah, and he was upset when the match was over. Something is going to happen there for sure.
Anyway, that was interesting on the way out there. So maybe this is Jack Evans' angle, too, is involved with it, too, because he's just like, it's not over until XO is dead. So I don't know where that's going to go. But that was... That was shocking on the way out. And from what had been a rather kind of light match, I thought.
Yeah. And there's really no reason for Jack Ryan to hate Exolicious that much, unless he's, you know, he's very confronted by his own sexuality.
Maybe. And maybe that's where they go with this too. Yeah, I see possibilities. That would be good. That would be good.
It might be the feud I'm interested in the most now. Yeah. As long as the Joey Ryan thing continues.
Yeah. Sure. Anyways, next match for the Gift of the Gods Championship. Mariposa versus Dragon Azteca Jr. The Matt Stryker reminds us of Marty's arm. So, you know, we know we shouldn't be expecting him. They say he should be getting better, but that was a good touch.
Mm-hmm.
Mariposa with a handshake, Nard's kick to start. Classic, while the ref wasn't looking. We see some of that unique creative stuff from Dragon Azteca Jr., where he kind of did that baseball slide there. It looked a little weird at first, but I was into it because he's just doing different things. How old is Ray Horace?
How old is he? He can't be more than 30. He's got to be.
Yeah, I was thinking like 27, maybe.
Hmm. That's an interesting question.
Anyways, they are even younger, right? Like, I feel like he's just, whatever age is, he's experimenting with different things and just trying goofy things out. And, you know, it's not all.
Oh, Trav.
What?
He's 34 years old.
Oh, wow. Wonder what did they say when he started?
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you. He's 2009. So he's only been doing it for 9 years. So he started at 23, but didn't really get going until 2011. So he's, you know, started in his late 20s, or at least recorded. I'm sure he was probably doing crazy backyard stuff in Mexico for a long time.
Lovely. Yeah. Interesting. Well, it feels like he's evolving still, even if he is a little older. Mariposa with some nice strength spot. I thought this intergender worked because of the size. Like, he's thinner and she is a little bulkier and stuff.
Yeah.
Dragon Azteca hits his 450. Mariposa kicks out. Mariposa hits her awesome finisher for that near fall. As I said, it was believable because of the size. And then an awesome roll up with that sweet little extra cross of the legs for the win. So this is. I hope that in these defenses of this Gift of the Gods, that he's always finding different ways and showing unique ways to win matches. You know what I mean? So it's just like, yeah, like this guy's a fighter, right? This guy's a...
Totally.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, he has to be the underdog in all of these matches, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think you really clued into something there with the fact that this intergender match, I think, worked... It worked well, and I didn't question it. Didn't make me feel queasy, not even once. I don't know if it's only because of the size difference. Before you had mentioned that, I think you're right. I think it's a huge contributing factor. Mm-hmm. I thought maybe the mask, the fact that she wears a mask, also has something to do with it because it helps you disassociate her as like a person. You know?
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, you can't really see the cries of anguish that we get from our lovely Ivelisse.
Oh my God, I know. it's something with that size difference. And yeah, it's funny too, because Taya, you know, obviously has put on a lot of bulk this season. And although we haven't really seen her have we seen her do a straight intergender so far? I don't think so. Certainly not the likes of the being like destroyed by Cage.
Just one-on-one. She was part of a trios match at the beginning of the early in the season, I think.
Mm-mm. Yeah. And I think I'd be curious to see what it would look like for her versus like someone like Cage now, or someone like Pentagon, somebody who does not hold back, or like Jeremiah Snake.
It's coming. We're gonna have to take a break before we talk about that.
All right, let's wrap this. Let's wrap this match up.
As I said, I thought it was solid, and that's what I mean. Like, if Dragon Azteca Jr. is finding creative ways and showing off his different types of offense, and every match kind of has a different way that he wins, and that's the best thing they could do for him and his character and his stock, you know, as a performer, even like
absolutely.
getting booked at afterwards, you know?
Yeah, it seems so obvious. Like, it seems so easy. Like, if you want to get a belt over, if you want to get a competitor over, this is, like, the most... This is the super simple way to do it, super effective way to do it. It's shocking that it's not cliche, because it's so simple.
I know. Yeah, I agree. All right.
So let's take a break and hear from our friends at Place to Be Nation.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which, of course, includes the full archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the Pro Wrestling Only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, along with Main Event, Survey Says, the Monday Night Wars, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction show, as well as Jeff Learns Wrestling. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver special network podcasts and pod blasts on topics old and new.
Over on the Pro Wrestling Only feed, we dive deep inside the wrestling business with a stacked army of experts leading the way. The feed features potpourri shows such as This Week in Wrestling, Greetings from Allentown, Match of the Week podcasts, and the Military Industrial Suplex. We also have shows that focus intently on certain topics like Through the Years, Worldcast, Strong Style History, Strong Style Story, and Mount Olympus. Plus, the feed has the full archives of legendary shows like Titans of Wrestling, Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Center Stage, and Letters from Kayfabe, plus much more. And on our very popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as Talking Pop, the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, NBA Team, PTBN Play, Sunday Groove, Breaking Balls, and Lucha Undead,
as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans
with the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversations, Geek and Sassy, and Marvel Age Podcasts.
You can find all of these current shows, plus archives of our past podcasts, including the Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback today. All these shows, plus others, available at PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh ebooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Ring the bell.
Pentagon is slated to work Kenny Omega at All In.
No.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Really?
Oh my God. Isn't that great? Awesome.
That's the first, I mean... Oh, gosh, there's been a lot of talk about that event in different ways and whatever. I think it's a huge achievement, obviously. But the card itself was just really like a commendable victory lap. That's what it felt like. Right. There's none of your favorite stakes.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
But now it's starting to get interesting if they can start throwing in like this kind of pairing that you wouldn't really expect to find.
Wow.
That can be pretty great.
You just blew my mind, dude.
Yeah, good. Ready? Yeah. Do you need a moment?
No, I'm sort of wrapping my head around it because it's not for anything, right? It's just a friendly, but it's bound to get out of control. Oh wow,
sure.
That will be awesome.
Like crawling on the outside and stuff, and Kenny finding different put over. A different kind of talent that he's had to put over before.
Mm-hmm.
and make them look great, because that's what happens when you work with Kenny. You look great. Everybody looks great who works with Kenny.
Yeah. Do you think that there is a chance that Pentagon and Phoenix end up in NXT?
Yes. Yes, of course. There's a chance.
Anyone can.
Wrestler with a bit of buzz behind them. Heads over. Yes.
I guess that makes sense. Yeah. What a silly question. Alrighty, so where are we? We just finished up Dragon Azteca versus Mariposa.
That was that. The main event, Atomico's match. Melissa explains the stipulations so everyone knows, like, you get the wish. So at least that's rare that she would do something like that. But then the crowd understands things a little bit better, and it's important because it's good for when they wrap things up in the ice temple at the end. She says Vibora's name, but we only see the three of them down there. And Matt Stryker mentions he's conspicuous in his absence. Mm-hmm. And Cobra Moon takes the mic and announces a new serpent servant, and it is Jeremiah Snake. Max, your thoughts?
I mean, I like Jeremiah Crane. I can't even remember his. I'm so rattled by Jeremiah Snake. I can't remember his actual name right now.
Savvy Callahan. We like Savvy Callahan.
Yes. So I'm never. I don't want to be upset when I see him on my screen.
Yeah.
But when you bring back a character from the dead off screen for no apparent reason, you undercut everything. You retroactively undercut the moment that happened that led to his demise. And it makes me doubt any time in the future that you tell me that somebody's dead. To the point that it's like, it's meaningless. You have made, and it made me, all of these different murders that have taken place, all these sacrifices, they no longer feel relevant.
Yeah.
And when they do it next episode, there's another sacrifice, it won't feel relevant. And I always assume that Phoenix was going to come back, but now it's like, is he just going to, without even a vignette? Give me a vignette at the very least.
Yeah, or something.
And it's just as bad when the Lucha Underground when the Worldwide Underground comes out and they introduce their competitor.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing. I'm just like, man, like, that's the name you come up with, is Jeremiah Snake. It's like, it's like a bunch of like 5-year-olds were playing. And like, Travis is dead now, but I'm coming back alive as Travis Snake. It's so silly. It's so silly. It's such a big misstep, I thought. I don't know.
And
I don't
see how he's the same character.
Yeah.
Although they made him more
slime. Looks like he had some red on his face. I don't know.
You could have smoothed it over with a vignette.
Yeah.
Another week or something. And what's really worse is that they're like, oh, we have a new person. And I'm like, oh, sweet. A new character. Or see, this is what's crazy, is that it was definitely designed to be a swerve, but it was like I would have been more happy if it was somebody that had never even been on our screen before. I would have been more excited if it was a character that any other character. If it was like Killshot, I would have been like, okay, that's really interesting.
That's messing with stuff.
If it was if they brought back Mr. Pectacular
as a
snake
with that snake face, he's just wearing Vibora's face. No,
sure, that'd be like, okay, this is weird. But
if we can play somewhat devil's advocate with it, I feel like, yeah, we will see all the sacrifices come back, but they'll be like an army, like Matanza's army, right? So they'll be all together. So if you were to just pick one from there, we're getting kind of nerd fan fiction talking about it, but I think there's a reason why you can't just take from one of the sacrifices. If they, then what are those for, right?
That's a good point. Yeah, I don't. You're right, Mr. Spectacular. No, but
his return will be fantastic.
I thought it was Pindar, and then I was equally as like, oh, give me a break.
I just gave him a different mask.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a weird choice. I mean, I guess it gives them a new. Well, who knows where they are now after the way this match ended up. Anyways, let's get into it. Johnny Mundo takes the mic and tells Ricky to hit the bricks. And then they all kind of laugh in the ring about murdering Vibora. That was pretty funny.
That was a messed up. That's my other major problem with this whole thing is, like, are the Worldwide Underground good guys or bad guys?
Well, and then they announce their... It feels like they're full-on babyface because now they've announced...
They murdered someone.
Yes, they just did. Like, brutally. Decapitated.
Exactly. So what are they? I don't get it. Like, a babyface is not going to murder somebody.
I guess he was a snake person. They're not real. Snake lives matter, too, right?
Snake lives matter.
Anyway.
No, I don't want to go there.
Okay. Aerostar, what the fuck? He's got a bandana on. I laughed at that.
I guess. Which is so staccato and anachronistic, and it's just like, what the hell is going on here? This is totally insane all across the board.
I mean, it does, again, I'm like reaching here, and it wrapped things up at the end, but it made sense with the Drago connection, I guess. But it just didn't make sense for Worldwide Underground, these, like, sleazeballs, just a fat piece of trash. Like, what has happened since he said that, to change his ways? Nothing. He lost the belt, and that didn't, take him down a peg or what? Like, how, I don't know. Anyways, a good four-way start with everyone. Empties out until we've got Jeremiah Snake and Johnny Mundo. Leads to that classic Aerostar spot. Hey, it's great to see him back.
Absolutely.
Right? And great to see that. Just that, like, man, he looks like they've got, sometimes it looks like they've got strings pulling him across in a stunt thing, right? Like the way that crossbody into the outside looked.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Dega and Drago kind of teamed up for some reason. Or no, Dega and Drago and then Taya high spots. There's another weird team up later. Anyways, the crowd's having a blast at this time. The crowd was having a great time. Back to Johnny Mundo and Snake. They team up. The two of them throw Cobra Moon out, which I don't really see the psychology there. What's his face? Jeremiah just making that face. It was on him forever, just this freak out face before he finally did the lap and the flip into the chairs. Yeah. PJ noticed wearing just the one glove.
I was like looking, trying to count, but I'm pretty sure he's got all five fingers on there.
You know, why would he be wearing one glove?
Style? Because he hasn't lost a finger and he's just a stylish guy and it doesn't matter to him. He's probably not even aware of the internet rumors that claim that he is missing a finger.
Until the finger comes off, I'm assuming he's missing an index finger. Johnny Mundo pushes Snake into Cobra Moon. Vampiro with a Misawa comparison to Johnny Mundo. That was nice.
It was nice. That was insane. That was as an insane comparison. It makes no sense. But I like it anytime they bring in history into it, but like the idea that Johnny Mundo and Misawa are the same just makes no sense.
Yeah. But it came at a time when he was doing those kind of elbow strikes and stuff that, you know, are not too far from the tree. I don't think he's saying he's like totally like him. Anyways, yeah. We're happy to hear the history. And then Johnny Mundo with that babyface slugfest, where all three of them have tried to pin him, and he's eventually stopped short at the end, but saved by Taya. Down to Aerostar and Drago. Aerostar hits that kind of springboard corkscrew to the outside that always looks great. Drago and Johnny Mundo with some great work for about 30 seconds. And between the two of them, I was like, all right, here we go. That was the best. combination or yeah. sequence wrestling we saw all episode, I thought. But it was only for about 30 seconds or so before Johnny hit the end of the world for the win.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets his one wish. And they're on their way out. He's like, not so fast, Cobra Moon. I'm gonna use my wish for Aerostar. We need to free Drago. Drago. Like, yes. Why?
Sure.
Like, why is he the sweetheart, though?
It's crazy.
I don't know. But interesting through all this, Taya is upset. Like, how dare you? It's just, it's really confusing. If, like, is she still playing the heel? I don't know. The crowd's like, set him free.
That was nice.
Really weird. Drago roars in delight as he leaves with Aerostar. That was pretty awesome. They just got to be thinking, like, right after they get backstage, what the fuck are we doing? The fuck are we doing, man? Anyways, we hear from Taya, Johnny, you're such an idiot. But Johnny gets a ring from PJ Black and proposes totally Randy Savage style. They accept and they play Pomp and Circumstance, so I guess they'll just work in the shoot, which is fine, I guess. I don't know what we're supposed to think about these guys now.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think, well, it makes sense that you want to make them likable because Ricky Mundo is going to come in and fuck shit up. Pardon my French.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't, if you want to make that feel meaningful, then you want to make those two as likable. I mean, we're going to have an in-ring wedding, which is actually very exciting. A premise.
Mm-hmm. Of course. It could be the Ultimate Lucha Cuatro. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's how this thing all wraps up, man.
Oh, that could be nice. That could be mm-hmm. a nice little bow on the whole thing. Because that mm-hmm. is one thing that really did come out of Lucha Underground. In a real way.
What's that?
Johnny Mundo met Taya. They got married.
Yep.
Why not honor that as the crowning achievement in the end of Ultima Lucha Quattro?
Sure. Anyways, no snowflakes for anything today. Nothing was really awful. But nothing really stood out. But right after the match, we get a little bit of Ricky, who had been given the cold shoulder earlier, talking to his doll about killing Johnny.
I did really like that when Johnny sent Ricky Mundo away, Vamp's comment was like, you don't do that to somebody who's got mental health issues. That's going to push him over the edge. I was like, actually, that is very astute, you know?
I'm not sure if he's taking his atropiprazole.
Wait a second. I just had a thought. What if Vampiro is somehow involved with Ricky Mundo and the doll? That is maybe on brand.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Talking about the mental health issue.
Yeah. Ricky Mundo. Yeah,
he's sympathizing with him as he gets the boot. That's the other thing, too. If this guy's a babyface, what do you say? Hit the bricks. Hey.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then he's sweetheart. I don't know. You gotta figure something out.
Mm-hmm. Man.
Yeah, I think this was a bit of a... We felt like they were having some momentum, but this felt like they were kind of... This felt like a little bit of a step back this week.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely... It's like they randomly got the Drago things figured out. Like, they're just like, we got to get Drago out of this Serpent Tribe thing for Aerostar. Who knows what plans they have, but it definitely felt like they're shortcutting that story in order for some other purpose.
Like, are we going to see Drago and Aerostar in bandanas next week now? Now we're all part of the Worldwide Underground.
Yeah, I got a feeling Aerostar is not really part of the world.
Remember, I hope not. I'd hope not.
Yeah.
But we had hoped Jeremiah Crane was done. And they found something for him.
Honestly, if next week Aerostar is part of the Worldwide Underground and is like involved in like backstage conversations and stuff, that could be awesome. Like, just hilariously weird.
I know. It could be. But it could be terrible, too. I want this guy to be going around to... Traveling through time. That's all I want. Wrestling different people. Wrestle Genghis Khan. and had to come back and, you know, and then had to defend the gift of the gods.
Oh, I love it.
Something. Yeah. That season 5 is the 70s, though. We're going to get that happening for sure.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yes. All righty. Well, that's yeah, that's our app. People can find us on Twitter. You just have to search create a Twitter account if you don't have one. B.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wait. Let me get a pen and a piece of paper.
just search for Lucha Aftergrind. Yeah. Search for Lucha Aftergrind on Twitter, and you can talk directly to Travis.
That's it.
And yeah. Other than that, that's it from us. Anything you want to add before we go?
No. Next week could be tough because it's my brother's wedding. You're going to be in Calgary with us,
yes.
So we might have to take a week off. Likely. Because I'm like officiating and putting stuff together all week long. So we might have to do a double up. But who knows? Crazier things have happened.
Yeah. Sounds good. All right. Well, we will probably not be here next week, but we will be here the week after that.
Definitely.
The question is, will you join us?